Just so thankful for every mom, thankful for every woman that's in our life, and just thankful for you guys being here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn it to chapter 11. And just really have a sense in my spirit that the Lord wants to do something just really special in every one of our lives. Maybe especially moms on this Mother's Day, but let me just tell you, I think He wants to do something special in the life of every woman, every man, every person here today. And, you know, I really appreciate Laura's transparency, just sharing kind of the pain that she's even experiencing today as she's remembering and experiencing the first Mother's Day since she lost her mom. And, you know, what I know as a pastor is that Mother's Day invokes a lot of emotions, different emotions for different people. You know, some of you are moms, and some of you desire to be moms and never had the chance to physically do that. Some of us had good relationships with our earthly moms. Some of us not so much. And so what I know is that there's a lot of emotions that are invoked by a day like today. But here's what I believe in my heart, that regardless of where you land in all those different things, that God today wants to encourage and edify you. And He wants to strengthen you, and He wants to speak into your life. And I personally don't know all the ways and situations, all the situations and ways that it causes you to feel, but God does. And that today He wants to speak into your life. He wants to encourage you. He wants to heal you. He wants to strengthen you in every area of your life. And so, it's, you know, later on in the service this morning, we're going to honor you moms. And we're actually going to honor every woman in the house today. Because how many know that there's an opportunity that to be a mom, even if you're not naturally a mom? And in fact, the Bible esteems the role of spiritual moms and dads. And that there's an opportunity to be a mom. There's an opportunity to make a difference. There's an opportunity to influence the next generation for Jesus, regardless of your station in life as it regards being an earthly mom. So we're going to honor you a little bit later this morning. But first, can we pray and can we get into the Word this morning? And would you just allow me to pray over our time and over our Word and over the message? And right where you sit this morning, would you pray and would you activate your faith and invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak into your life and to bring encouragement to you? And like I said, I don't know everything that you're up against, but God does. God knows, and God help. God cares, and God desires to help you this morning. And so would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, thank you for your faithfulness to us in so many ways. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to gather in this place in your name and to open your word. And Lord, we also open our hearts, Lord, and we pray that we would have alert minds to hear and receive, Lord, your word today, and that it would penetrate deep places, God, in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that any of us this morning, any of us, God, men or women who are weak or who are weary, who are struggling, who are wounded, your heart and your desire is to come and to heal. Your heart is to come this morning and to strengthen us so that we can get about the business and the work that you've called us to, the call of God upon our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come and open. Come and reveal your word. Come and reveal the heart of the Father as we open and visit your word today. And all of God's precious people said, come on, say amen with a loud shout. Amen, amen, amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 30. And this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And all the moms are just like, oh, here we go, you know. So hang in there with me, and I will give you rest. Come on, say rest. Come on, say it again, rest. God wants to give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble, I'm gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come on, say it again, rest. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Listen, this is God's heart for you. Moms, this is God's heart for you. Listen, every one of you that are here this morning, this is God's heart for you. In the midst of everything he's called you to discover a position of peace and of rest. And listen, here's what I know is that it can sound unrealistic. It sounds too good to be true. But can I tell you, it's possible. It's possible. And here's what the Lord knew. He knew that life was going to get busy. He knew that we were called to work. In fact, work is sacred. It's one of the things that he charged Adam and Eve with, to take dominion, to go and to do things that would cause his kingdom to expand. And so God's called us to some things that are going to cause us to get busy, and he knew this. marriage and family, raising children, those things are challenging. They take time. They take commitment. They take energy. But the Lord is saying to you, and he's reminding you this morning, in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the hectic schedule, stay connected to me. Stay connected to me. Come to me. Find your rest. Listen, he knows that our tendency is going to be in the midst of all the busyness of life to get swept up with things in such a way that we look up and we can find ourselves running on empty. And they were preaching my message already, Laura and Elisa. And what'd she say? She had the ladies respond, you know, what'd you say? You said, who feels sometimes overwhelmed or like life is hectic? And many of the ladies raised their hands. One lady didn't, and I saw her husband trying to raise her hand for her, literally. Listen, it's a real challenge. It's a felt challenge. This the pace of life can sometimes cause us to look up, and we didn't even realize how we got where we got, but we look up and we're spiritually dry, we're spiritually empty, and we're on edge, and we're snapping at our kids, and we're snapping at our husband or wife. And Jesus realizes this. He knows this is the tendency of life. And he comes and he's giving us a prescription. Come on, it's a heartfelt, it's the heart of the Father expressed to you. It's a heartfelt, it's a fervent, it's a passionate appeal to you and to me to live differently, to not get so caught up and swept up in things that we don't make time and take time to stay connected to the one that in the midst of it all gives us a posture of peace. In the midst of it all gives us a posture of rest. But listen, the results of the passage that seem kind of unrealistic, they're connected to our willingness, our resolve to live out the revelation and even the command that's found within this passage. And Jesus says, come to me. He says, come to me. He says, get away with me. He says, walk with me. And he says, work with me. And I believe come to me is his call to us daily. It's his call to us daily. Listen, is there any other relationship or any other area of life that we think that we can just give attention to once a week and it get better or go well for us? No, there's not. But how many of us, that's the way that we get, because of the busyness of life oftentimes, we don't intend for it to go this way. We get so swept up and caught up that we lose sight. We come to church on Sunday morning, but then we just get so busy that we forget to make the time and take the time to come to me. And it's his appeal to you, come to me, come to me. Every day he's calling out to you, men and women of God. He says, come to me. Spend time to me. Come on, I'm so grateful that we don't serve some far-off God. I'm grateful that we don't serve a God that exists on a bookshelf. I'm grateful that we serve a God who is crying out and calling out and beckoning to his people, to his children, come to me. The reason I sent Jesus to die on the cross and pay the price for your sin and make a way for you to be redeemed is to make a way that you could also be reconciled to a relationship with me. And his desire is for us to live that relationship day by day. And can I encourage you with something? Even moment by moment. That it's not something we just have to do in the morning or at night. Those are good places to start. But the invitation of the Lord is, come to me every moment. Come to me. Come to me. Every moment, call out to me. Every moment, look to me. Every moment, find your strength in me. Every moment of your life, stay connected to me. Stay connected to your source. He's the source of peace. He's the source of rest, even in the midst of your hectic schedule. Come on, most of the things that God's called you to are all good. Your kids and your church and your work and the volunteer things that you do, all good things. And he's saying, in the midst of it, come to me. And he says, get away with me. He says these four things in this passage. Come to me. Get away with me. Walk with me and work with me. And I believe get away with me are those strategic times, like Pink Impact, by the way, ladies, where you say, you know what, I got a lot going on, but I'm going to make time. I'm going to create time in my schedule to get away with my Savior. I'm going to make time. Jesus would often go out, and he would go out and pray. Come on, if Jesus needed to do it, how many of you think that it's maybe a good idea for you and for me? He says, come to me, and he says, get away with me. There's some times where you need to just build it into your life, build it into your schedule, and maybe take a vacation day to get away by yourself or get away with your spouse and just go and just spend time seeking God and spending time with him and allowing him to refresh you and speak to you. He says, walk with me. Come on, I believe this implies that he wants to be with you in every moment, every situation. That every morning, it's just a good thing to just get up and say, Lord, everything that you've called me to today, I'm looking to you. I'm not trusting in my own strength, but I'm looking to you, and I'm trusting you, and I'm asking you, God, would you strengthen me for all the things that lay before me in my day, the things I have planned and scheduled and the things that are unforeseen, I look to you, and I'm going to walk it out with you. I'm not going to leave you by my bedside. I'm not going to leave you on my nightstand. I'm taking you with me. Because how many know that the Lord said it's to your advantage that he goes away, that Jesus goes away, so that the Father would send the promised Holy Spirit, and Jesus referred to it as advantage. It's your advantage. Come on, you serve a God that you don't have to leave at home on a bookshelf or on your nightstand. He wants you to take him with you. He says, walk with me. And he says, work with me, watch how I do it. Work with me, watch how I do it. Come on, there's a grace from God to do everything that God has called you to do. There's a grace from God to walk out everything that he's called you to do. And grace is God's empowerment. There's a difference between grace and mercy. Mercy is the reality that we didn't get what we deserve because of Jesus, but the grace of God is the reality that we get the things that we also don't deserve. He gives us things that we never could have deserved. Grace is the unmerited favor of God in every place, every position, every stature, in your job, in your workplace, in the home, as a husband, as a wife, come on, as a mom. There's a grace from God. He says, do it with me, walk with me, and he says, work with me, watch how I do it. Listen, in the midst of all the things that God's called you to, if you'll come to him, if you'll get away with him, if you'll walk with him, and if you'll work with him and watch him, there's a posture of peace and a position of rest that you can live your life out in. And you know, I was just reminded about, as I was looking into the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. And it says this is a commandment, that it may go well with you in life. And come on, now that I'm a parent, I know what that means. It means honor me so I won't kill you. But you know, right before, this is God's top 10 list. Come on, right in the midst of all the do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not murder, he says, honor your father and your mother. And you know the one that's right before that, it says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the Sabbath was a day that in the Jewish faith they would set aside to rest and to come together as a family. And it's not just about rest. There were traditions that were built into the Sabbath that brought the family together. And listen, we live under a new and a better covenant. And a lot of these things we no longer have to do to have right standing with God. We get to do some of these things. And so we're not required to do these things. And how many of you believe that every day ought to be a Sabbath as it regards worshiping God and resting in his presence and inviting his presence into our hearts and our homes? Come on, we get to do that every day, amen? But there's some things that we can look into some of these things and glean from spiritually. And so I started looking into this and researching it, and I found some of these traditions that were held in the Sabbath as we're talking about God's heart for you to rest, God's heart for you to find peace in the midst of all the busyness of life. Come on, God's heart for you to live and to be a mom from a position of peace and rest as you're connected to him. And there's some traditions that we can find insightful things from. And as Jewish families, they would come together and they would start the Sabbath day by lighting a candle. And the candle was the candle of presence. It was the candle of God's presence. And it represented an intentional invitation to say, we're inviting the presence of God into our homes. And oftentimes the husband of the family would embrace the mom, the wife, as the candle was lit. And by the way, let me just encourage you, as I'm talking about some of these things that we do as families and as husbands and wives, listen, if you're single in this place, if you're a single mom, a single woman in this place, you're not incomplete, you're whole in Christ. And in this season, until God, if it's the desire of your heart to have a husband for the first time or once again, just trust God and look to God. But in the meantime, just allow the Lord to wrap his arms around you. Amen. So they would light this candle as a symbol that we're inviting the presence of God into our home. We're welcoming the presence of God into our home. And then the husband, on this day, this set apart day of rest, that is this posture that God wants us to live from every day. They would also, the husband would bring a gift to the mom every time. And by the way, this is the house. This is the culture. These are the traditions that Jesus would have grown out, no doubt, watching Mary and Joseph live out before him as he was being raised up to know the Lord. And so the husband would bring a gift to the wife every Sabbath. It wouldn't necessarily be something extravagant, just something that showed that he was thoughtful and mindful. Maybe it was just a flower. But he would bring in a simple gift of appreciation. And the father would then, they've lit the candle and they've embraced and they've exchanged gifts. And then the father would sing a song over the family, a song of blessing over his home, a song of blessing over his children. And then there would, after the father had sung a song, and by the way, how many of you know that's a good thing for us to have worship and prayer in our homes, and it's a good thing for us as men to just make a fresh commitment and dedication to that your family, that your kids, that your wife would hear the word of it. Come on, faith comes by hearing. And maybe there's no greater faith that could be imparted to our wives and to our kids than to hear us praying and calling out to God and hear us as men worshiping God, amen? The father would sing the song, and then there would be a meal. This amazing meal, this extravagant meal, this long meal that they would have. They weren't in a rush. And they would walk it out. And here's the thing is, the mom wasn't allowed to cook it. Come on, where are my ladies at? And the ladies said amen. The mom, who had worked hard and tirelessly all the other 6 days of the week, had to rest that day. She couldn't be involved in it, so the husband had to make provision for it. Come on, where are my ladies at? Say amen. Some of you moms are ready to convert to Judaism right now. And they would enjoy this meal, and it would be this extended family time. And as part of that family time, the parents would traditionally carry the children as a way to symbolically honor Deuteronomy chapter 1, where the parents carried the children into the promised land. And then at the end of the day, there would be a planned intimacy between the husband and the wife. You women that were excited a moment ago, where are you at now? I heard from a guy over here. Who was that? Whoever that was, you better leave immediately following the service and do not show your face. He had the nerve to amen that. That's courage right there. He's probably single, whoever it was over there. I'm not even looking over there. Not looking. And the Sabbath lasted until dark. And the way that the family would know that the Sabbath day had run its course is they would go out as a family and they would look into the night sky that God created after they've done all these things. They've lit the candle. They've embraced one another. They've sung blessings. They've exchanged gifts. They've had a meal. And there's been intimacy in the home. And then they would look up into the night sky under the sky that God created. And they would know it was over when three stars had appeared to them. When they could see the third star, it was concluded. And how many of you know that there's a powerful symbolism to three, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we need the Father and we need the Son and we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Godhead in our homes and in our hearts. And so for us, what can we glean from this? For us to intentionally welcome the presence of God into our lives. Come on, when you lit that candle, it was an act of intentionality. A candle has to be lit, and a candle has to be guarded, and it can't be left alone, and it can't be left out in the wind, and it can't be left in the cold, and you have to give some attention to it. And it's time as the people of God that we become intentional about welcoming and honoring and inviting the presence of God back into our homes. Come on, how many of you believe that? Wouldn't it be awesome? I'm just telling you, wouldn't it be awesome if we just built some things back into our lives, some Christian traditions back into our lives, where it wouldn't matter. Maybe you had a bad week. Maybe you had a bad day, but you always knew we're setting some things up that are always going to bring us back to the table. We're setting some things up that are always going to bring us back to intimacy. We're setting some things up that are always going to bring us back to the presence of God. We're setting some things up that are always going to bring us back to honoring the one who brought us together and worshiping and praising him and giving him thanks. We're setting some things up that are going to cause us to be intentional about reminding ourselves about the ways that God had been faithful in previous seasons when he had led us out of captivity and into his promises. And we're going to raise our children up to know that and to know those things and to fear and trust the Lord. We have to be intentional about lighting that candle. The candle represents the presence of God. The presence of God in our homes. To welcome his presence. To sing and worship and pray together. To gather together as families. To remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. To show appreciation for one another. Gratitude for one another. And that's where I want to shift. And I just want to especially speak to moms. Moms, you deserve appreciation. Come on, mom. Being a mom is a tireless, and often thankless act. And we just take a moment this morning. Hopefully this message speaks to every man, woman, and child about the invitation and the privilege and the opportunity to stay connected daily to Jesus, that it's an invitation to a relationship, and the source of your strength as a man or a woman is tied to being connected to him. But I especially want to encourage you as moms, and come on, as moms, we oftentimes on Mother's Day especially, we hear these Proverbs 31 messages. You know, in Proverbs 31, woman, how many are familiar with that? And she's a superwoman, you know. She's the CEO of a global enterprise, and she makes her own clothes, and she's selling things and selling land and buying things and all these things, you know, and it can almost feel unattainable. I can only imagine if I was a woman, and I'm reading all these things, and I'm like, I'm just trying to get the macaroni on the stove and get the kids to soccer practice. And Proverbs 31, woman is building an empire and buying and selling these things and finding time to make their own clothes and all these things. And can I just tell you, I understand. I don't know. I was about to say I understand the struggle. I don't understand the struggle. I understand how you could read that and you could feel like maybe you don't measure up. And I'm just telling you that what everything that God's called you to, and if you're here today and you're a mom and you feel like you read that and you don't measure up, I'm just telling you that's a lie from the voice of the enemy. You do measure up and you do matter. And in a fresh and a new way, as you press in and you allow the Lord to just remind you day by day of what he's done for you and who he's called you to be and what he's made available to you, and you begin to draw your strength and you begin to find your source from him and from him alone, there's a grace that God will give you to live well and to mother well. But moms deserve appreciation. And you know what is interesting about Proverbs 31 is that at the end of it, you guys remember how it closes? And it says that her children shall arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. And it goes on, it says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all, and charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And it says, honor her. Come on, say honor her. Come on, men, say honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Come on, in Proverbs 31, there are men and there are children that honor and encourage and appreciate the women in their lives. And is it possible that maybe the key to more Proverbs 31 women is if we had more Proverbs 31 men and children? Amen. Come on, where are the women at? I should hear from you on that one. Moms deserve appreciation. And so today we want to take time and we want to honor you. And we want to encourage you. We want to call you blessed. We want to acknowledge all the things that you put your hands to that make a difference in the lives of so many people. Moms deserve appreciation. It's hard work being a mom. Come on, if motherhood was easy, it wouldn't start with something they call labor. And I've watched as Amity partnered with God to bring 4 kids into the world. I've watched as she endured the sickness of pregnancy and the stretching and the changing that she was subjecting her body to and the pain of the process of birthing them. And I've watched this and I've thought, God, you chose well choosing women to walk this out. Because if it was up to men, and men, don't tell me you were involved in the process. You were involved, but she was committed. Come on, it's like at breakfast when you have bacon and eggs, you know, the chicken that laid the egg was involved, but that animal that provided the bacon, that's commitment right there. And so, guys, I don't care to hear much about your part about it. For a lot of reasons, by the way, moving on. I've watched as Amity's partnered with God to bring 4 children into the earth. And listen, can I just encourage you as moms, when God wants to do something amazing in the world, when God needs someone to be raised up to do something mighty in the world for the name of Jesus and for the kingdom of God, you know what he often does? He reaches down and he partners with a mom. He partners with a mom. When God needed someone to be raised up to go and to be his voice, to see his people Israel released from captivity from Egypt, he partnered with a mom. When God needed Abraham Lincoln to stand against the tyranny of slavery, he looked down and he partnered with a poor, illiterate Virginia farm girl by the name of Nancy Haines. He partnered with a mom. When God needed to raise up Martin Luther King as a voice to stand against racial inequality and racial injustice, he reached down and he partnered with the daughter of a poor black preacher named Alberta Williams. He partnered with the mom. And when God decided to enact his plan for salvation that he had had in mind since the foundation of time, what did he do? He could have done it a lot of different ways. He reached down and he partnered with the mom. He found a poor, simple Jewish girl who had nothing on her mind except preparing for her wedding. He reached down and he partnered with a mom. Come on, can I submit to you today that God's still in the business of partnering with moms? And will you make room every day? Come on, and being a mom is tough. Being a mom is difficult. Being a mom is trying. But if you'll make room, if you'll come to him, come to him, come to him. If you'll get away with him, if you'll walk with him, come on, all throughout your day, all the things that you're up to, being a mom and holding down a job and keeping the house and looking good doing it, walk with him and work with him. Watch how he does it. Allow him to be your source. Allow him to refresh you. Come on, I just feel like there's some people here this morning who are running on empty, men and women. You're running on empty spiritually. You're doing all the stuff. You're working hard, and you're living out marriage, and you're living out family. And you're doing all the things, but you're just doing it on fumes. And today, the heart of this message is just the heart of the Father reminding you that he never intended you to do it alone. He never intended you to do it alone. His heart in everything that he's done, his heart in everything that he's done is relationship. And he says, come to me. He says, get away with me. He says, walk with me. And he says, work with me. We honor you, moms. And can I just tell you this morning what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart as we honor moms on Mother's Day, and it's to honor women. It's to honor women. Because like I said, if maybe you haven't yet or you never did have the opportunity to be a physical mom, there's a call from God upon you to be a spiritual mom. The Bible esteems it, and can I submit to you in some ways, there's maybe even a greater impact that you can make standing in the gap for someone that didn't have a godly mom, and maybe you didn't birth that child physically, but there's a way that you can birth them into their spiritual destiny by serving in this children's ministry or being involved in foster care or adopting kids or just partnering with other families in this church to just speak life over their children. And so this morning, as we honor moms, I just want us to honor women. Because there's a call, there's a mantle, there's a grace that God has put on your life to help raise up a generation physically and spiritually. Amen.